The following is the story of the water wheel, taken from an article written in 2004 by former park curator George Fuller.
J.W. Goodwin was appointed to take charge of the park in 1949, when it had declined, largely as a consequence of unavoidable neglect during World War II. His brief was to attract visitors back into the park. He drafted a very comprehensive and forward-thinking proposal, which, amongst many other suggestions, emphasized maximum exploitation of water. Features suggested were a fountain, a waterfall, a water wheel, a windmill, and a water ram. By the time he retired in 1977, he had overseen the introduction and unveiling of the first three. Mr. Goodwin was very heavily involved personally with the design and installation of the fountain, commemorating the visit of Queen Elizabeth II in January 1954, but he delegated the design and construction of the waterfall to the late Ian McDowell and myself, George Fuller. This set the scene for a great working relationship to flourish, and upon its successful completion, we were on the lookout for a water wheel as our next challenge. The breakthrough came in the form of a pure accident in February 1973, when, in visiting a son engaged in holiday work at the Omata Dairy Factory, there was an electricity cut. I turned the conversation with staff to the pre-electricity era, and it was revealed that relics of the water wheel, which originally provided power, were still present beside the factory. I was shown the remnants of a wheel that had not turned for about 40 years. It was no less than 12 feet in diameter, by 6 feet wide. 12 feet was the head of water entering the dell near Gilbert Street, making it the perfect site for such a water wheel. Although all the woodwork was in an advanced state of decay, the bearing housings, axle hubs, and a mass of cast iron gearing were still in great condition. Having gained acceptance of the prospect that there was a good chance that the wheel would be restored if the relics were donated to the park, I arranged for Fitzroy Engineering to carry out an inspection. They gave a strong thumbs up and later would not only transport the prize, but also clean all the ironwork and paint it where appropriate. Meanwhile, permission had to be gained from the council to carry out the work. With a stroke of customary genius, Mr. Goodwin proposed that the wheel be restored and installed in the park as a centennial project, and even got the Taranaki County Council to assist with a $500 donation. Ian had been involved with the negotiations from the outset, and given this clearance set about preparing scale drawings of the wheel before anything was removed. Based on these drawings, the joinery firm of Jones and Sanford reconstructed the wooden components, and the Taranaki Harbors Board donated the two large hardwood-bearing beams. Preparation of the site was a massive undertaking because Ian and I had agreed to carry out the work with our respective teams, and there weren't even access paths down into the area. In order to fully exploit viewing potential and provide the unique opportunity of being able to pass behind the wheel, we laid a pathway which encompassed the entire rim, overlooking the site, then completed the almost parallel loop at the level of the wheel. Excavating down to solid ground, upon which to establish the foundations for the walkway and wheel, was very laborious manual work. Ian's team concentrated on the solid stonework required behind and to the side of the wheel, using in the lower courses large blocks hewn by prisoners, originally for the vault of the old New Plymouth Post Office and for curbstones. We were very anxious to preserve the integrity and character of the mostly native trees growing around the rim. At the time, there were no mobile cranes available with telescopic derricks strong enough to be able to thread the bulky, almost ton load of the wheel between the trees. So we opted to have each rim divide into two halves, then carried the four components down, plus the axle assembly, etc., and assembled the wheel on site. I located the wheel in 1973 and work started on the site in the summer of 1974. Assembly of the wheel started in 1975. It was commissioned to commemorate the centennial of Pukekura Park on the 29th of May 1976. The Festival of the Lights in the summer of 1976-77 was centered around the Fountain Lake Children's Playground area, so that the wheel could be featured for the first time and was certainly an unforgettable spectacle. We were elated when, upon completion and after final trimming to a tolerance of 1 inch both laterally and in throw, a 10-liter bucket of water was all that was required to get it to turn. Over the years, it has given great pleasure to an enormous number of visitors and provide a reason for many to reflect on our past, and ponder over the impressive size of the machinery once required to generate the amount of power that would now be supplied by a relatively small motor. In so doing, it has earned a significant place in the history of the park. When we had the faithfully restored wheel installed in the park, we did not couple the countershaft because of constraints of space, sound, and safety. Another modification was to replace the grease cup bearing lubrication with two copper high-pressure hydraulic lines for remote servicing with a grease gun. Lock access was provided to both sides, but because the wheel would never be laden, somewhat naively as has transpired, we presumed that it would turn forever, with very little need for servicing. It quickly shattered our dream. The incessant turning of the unbalanced ton mass, at idling speed, 24 hours per day over a prolonged period without regular attention, was sufficient to gradually work the authentic shims and wedges loose and upset the trim. We just could not keep up with the demand for attention, and at one stage replaced the steel shims and wedges with wedges of Puriri hardwood, but they were also chomped up. There ensued a period of years during which numerous very clever and generous well-wishers offered the perfect solution, to the point where the original hub assembly is no longer recognizable, having had spacers, brackets and flanges of various types welded in for stability. However, the relentless movement continued to impose stress on weaker components, resulting in breakage of diagonal wooden braces and wear around the seat of steel tie rods, etc., progressively destroying equilibrium. With the advent of mobile cranes with telescoping derricks, the wheel was removed for repair and strengthening between September and December of 1989, and yet again in the 1990s. But it has continued to relentlessly self-destruct into what is now a very unsafe condition. This, coupled that with the benefit of hindsight, it is obvious that it was unwise to locate it in direct line with the ravine upstream, which converts high flows into an uncontrollable raging torrent of immense destructive power, means that its removal and replacement with a wheel of simpler balanced design is the logical action to take.
The Centennial Heritage Water Wheel was formally opened on the 1st of May 1976 by Mr. L. D. Hickford, County Chairman, and Mrs. Audrey Gale, Chairman of the City's Parks and Recreation Committee. The Centennial Heritage Water Wheel was finally retired in December 2004 and replaced by an entirely new water wheel designed by New Plymouth engineer Michael Lawley. The installation of the replacement wheel took place in November 2005, in time for that year's Festival of Lights. The replacement water wheel is 3.6 meters high and 1.6 meters wide, replicating the dimensions of the Centennial Heritage Wheel. The new water wheel has been sited to the east of the main stream, so it is out of the firing line of the stream when it is in flood. The flume has a controlled intake, designed to guarantee a constant regulated flow of water to turn the wheel, even when the flow rate of the stream is at its lowest or highest.